Tell your smartphone to smarten up. Subscribe to the Brady and Walker podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. On demand. This is Brady and Walker. Watch it on Sportsnet 360. Hear it on Sportsnet590.ca and Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Hey, it's Andrew. Welcome back to Brady and Walker. Show number one for us, hour two in the new time slot, 1 to 4. So I have an image that's going to last in my brain for a while. And maybe, just maybe, this would be the image that eventually represents the theme of this NHL season. And it still is that loser Sabres fan in his Buffalo jersey with pristine seats cheering his head off on Thursday night when Sam Gagne of the Arizona Coyotes beat his team in overtime. I felt it again somewhat Saturday as I ran into this group of sour Leafs fans angry at an inspired comeback over one of their biggest rivals on a night where Toronto won that game for the kid, Garrett Gamble. It makes me feel, for lack of a better term, icky. Because when I was a kid, I didn't know what the draft was going to offer. I didn't salivate the prospect of my team losing its last 20 games just to get an 18-year-old in the system. I'm not saying it's the fans' fault, but the system we have is an ugly one. It's ugly for our sport. And I don't sit here today with any answers, just lots and lots of questions. Is this an anomaly? Is this just because of Connor McDavid? Do Oiler fans feel good that they cheered for loss after loss for an entire season just to get Nail Yakupov? Does a little piece of us die every time we cheer against whatever team we cheer for? And will there ever be a scenario where winning that final game to jump to 29th instead of 30th is actually viewed as it should be, a good thing?
This is Brady and Walker. Watch it on Sportsnet 360. Hear it on Sportsnet590.ca and Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
All right, it's Brady and Walker, Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet 360. You did something there, and I just want to make sure you did it on purpose. You invoked the very inspirational 11-year-old Garrett Gamble. You're not saying, this is, we should do a segment called, now you're not saying that, where I make the most ridiculous assumption.
I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
You're not saying Leaf fans upset that they won are anti-Garrett. They're not anti-Garrett Gamble. They're not anti the G-man. They didn't think that was a bad signing for Saturday night. That was heartwarming.
It was great. It was fantastic.
Great. They should have one for another game.
Yes. What I'm saying is, it's wrong the way it is. Because think for a second, you don't think young Garrett Gamble cares about his hockey team? Of course he does. You think he'd like to see, I don't know, the next Wayne Gretzky, the next Sidney Crosby wearing his team sweaters? Of course he would. But watch the game through his eyes for a second.
Yeah.
Right? Do you want it? Like the other night, they get pummeled, 4-1 by Florida. Sam Carrick, it's his first NHL goal. Can you imagine having a fan base mad at you because you scored your first 5 NHL goals in a game and you won 5-4.
I'll tell you what,
though. I'm not saying it's the fans' fault. I'm saying it's just,
I hope not,
it's just a bad precedent. I don't know if it's just because of Connor McDavid, because we know how good he is. He's unbelievable. But when you are a member of Tank Nation for whatever team you are, it starts from game 20 on. It's just been disgusting.
Well, I got two thoughts on Garrett Gamble. One, I can be cynical at times. For people listening for the very first time, if you're listening the first time, you don't know this already, so I shouldn't tell you that. Andrew's the really cynical, hard-edged one.
No.
And I've always got the glass half full.
I'm sunshine and puppies and butterflies.
The kid shows up. They do this one-day contract for him. He shows up, and he's from Saskatchewan. He's wearing Tyler Bozak's number. Tyler Bozak couldn't, and I say this with all respect because he's an NHL player, if he tried, have had a more miserable, a lot of the Leafs, right? I couldn't have had a more miserable past 90 days of existence in the NHL.
It's been surprising. It's been so more than disappointing.
So the guy comes in, this beautiful young boy, and his parents come in, and he meets everybody at the skate. And Bozak scores a hat trick. And he could have had the fourth. It's like Eric Brewer was being selfish by putting in the rebound instead of Tyler Bozak for the overtime goal.
You think Garrett Gamble's being selfish? You think he would have preferred a 4-0 loss to your team's biggest rival or one of them?
You hit on something, and it's this whole losing thing. And I'm not around enough kids who are in those teenage years following sports who, I mean, we're all kids at heart when it comes to sports, right? Now, that said, when I see guy with his own jersey, name on the back of the jersey, when I see grown men crying at sporting events, I don't know. I'm not a big guy in those departments anymore. That said, I don't know how a 15-year-old Leaf fan feels. Does a 15-year-old Leaf fan scour the standings and look for Buffalo, Arizona, Edmonton losses because he knows more? He's online. He can, like, if I was a kid in Pittsburgh, Andrew, the year Pittsburgh just went in the sea chest for Mario Lemieux, would I know it? Would I be cheering for losses as a 13-year-old against my team ever? I can't imagine it. And then I gave you the example 2 years ago. The Indianapolis Colts are 0-12. They're starting Curtis Painter, a quarterback, every game. Peyton Manning's injured. We know what they're trying to accomplish.
Everyone knew what it was for.
But then they won two straight games. They won a Thursday night game, and they won the week before that. And you're going, they could screw this up. And after all year trying to get Andrew Luck or be able to draft Andrew Luck, and at least you got the decision. There were still some people thinking, would you trade it and keep Peyton Manning? No, they did the right thing. Of course they did the right thing. But would you be a 14-year-old Indianapolis Colts fan and be so aware and so cognizant of the notion of the tank at that point in time? See, I just think it's a more modern phenomenon than it would have been 20. Even the Mary Lemieux era, when they said, we got to put something in so that the worst team just doesn't automatically get it. And they did in the NBA ages ago, but now you have more teams tanking. When you're only one of the two or three worst, you got no incentive. Now, nine teams can get the best player, and it's going to be like that in the NHL this year.
I would say, but that's my point. I think, because people want to blame the NHL, right? And part of me wants to blame the fans anyway. But the NHL has taken some measures. I don't want to say done their best. But yes, now you go from a 20% chance and then an 11 and then a 9 or there's a 13 in there. So yes, multiple teams could get Connor McDavid, who's the biggest franchise changer we've seen since Sidney Crosby. They've tried that. But fans will still root against their team to move from a 9% chance to a 10% chance. Like, is the juice worth the squeeze? I don't know if it is. I don't know if it would be any other year. Like, in the commentary there, I mentioned the year that the Edmonton Oilers. I mean, fans were on board their let's fail for nail 20 games in. This is another miserable season in a team already beridden by miserable seasons. And what was the best thing that could have happened for them? To win 15 more games and draft Morgan Riley.
I know.
Right?
I know. And like the Derrick Rose situation was another example where you had basically a 500 team that had a lot of good parts already. Kirk Heinrich was a better player than started. Joakim Noah was okay. But they were basically about the ninth worst team. There were 8-9 teams that needed Derrick Rose more than the Chicago Bulls did. And they got him. And that can happen from time to time. Wouldn't it be embarrassing for the league if the San Jose Sharks got Connor McDavid? I don't know. What if the Philadelphia Flyers got Connor McDavid?
People would say they don't deserve him. In a way, it would be kind of this weird sense of justice.
Oh, God, no. I don't know. the Flames fall out of the playoffs and they're the one that gets him?
It's justice because that guy behind the net in Buffalo, who's cheering for the other team when they score an OT winner, was it worth it? Part of me hopes that Buffalo, and I know there's fans like this in every market. There are some here. There are some out west. There's some in Buffalo. There's some in Arizona among the 150 fans that go to those games. part of me really wants to see Connor McDavid go to Buffalo because I think they are the worst team, right? It's not a tank. Yeah. They're just a bad team, and Tim Murray's traded off guys and all this. Tim Murray wants them. But part of me doesn't want to see him go there.
Because they get what they want.
It kind of gets the idea.
They planned this all season long. It was basically, and again, you don't have to be a genius to figure out in the summer, assets get stripped. I'm still a believer that 2 years ago, going into last year, 13-14 for the Leafs, there was some question whether I wasn't sure how good they wanted to be. I really wasn't. And then we found out a lot more about how good they wanted to be this year when they fired Randy Carlyle when they did.
It's Greg Brady, Andrew Walker, at Brady Walker is our Twitter account. George Parris is going to join us in a few minutes. Yeah, we've had this debate. Just current tough guy or former tough guy? I don't know what his strength training regimen is right now.
He's probably not gotten less tough in the last 9 months. We haven't gotten any tougher in the 28 days off we had.
Well, we saw this, and it's on sportsnet.ca right now. It's on Deadspin as well. They picked it up. But you remember Andre DeVoe?
Now we're talking the Burke era.
One of Brian Burke's short-term tough guys. So if you've seen the video, we'll show it here on Sportsnet 360 as well. Former Maple Leafs and Rangers forward Andre DeVoe had an ugly pregame incident. This was last Thursday night. Now, to say it was a vicious slash is probably underselling it a little bit. I don't know if I've ever seen a more vicious slash before, if I can even say it. So it's in warm-up, and the guy is hanging around center ice and looking at his own net. And DeVoe, I guess the guy had taken a run at him a couple months earlier or something like that.
I think earlier in the series.
He comes up, and it is the two-hander to end all two-handers.
It's Spalding from Caddyshack playing golf is what it is.
He's
digging out the weeds.
It's Dumb and Dumber. It's Jeff Daniels. And Jim Carrey doing the fencing with the weird suits and then whack him in the back. That's what it is.
It is.
By the way, so this report just coming down now, DeVoe has had his contract terminated after that because of the bad publicity it got.
Well, the best part of the clip was the interview afterwards. I don't know if we're able to do the interview afterwards. So this is Andre DeVoe. This is a Swedish reporter. The great thing about the Swedes, you got to love the Swedes because they all speak English very well, very, very, very well. It's like they're right out of the womb and they can speak six languages. But the Swedish reporter talking with Andre DeVoe and basically suggesting to DeVoe, you kind of did something bad before the game. He's not so sure. Take a listen and a look.
I mean, how bad could it be? I mean, they're shooting pucks at us, and then we there's a scrum. I mean, how can he really be hurt? He played tonight. He played last game. So, I mean, I really don't understand here. I mean, I got hit from behind.
You didn't think you should be suspended for this?
No, I mean, are you kidding? I'm still amazed that I got hit from behind. I left the game. I've had concussion symptoms ever since, and nobody talks about it. It's just okay here. And then, there's a scrum last game, and nobody could. You just tell me what would have happened if I would have hit him from behind. You know what I mean? I would never play in this league again. You know, I think this is ridiculous, and they have it backwards. And, one, you could paralyze somebody, and the other one, you know, there's a few pushing. You push back and forth, and then, I really don't understand it, to be honest. But, whatever the league decides.
So they must have won, but
or they lost a really hard-fought game because there was an accordion in there for the first half of the interview, and then they put on techno for the second half. So maybe they're mixed feelings.
This is the takeaway: is that he says basically it was vigilante justice. Now he's got to watch the own replay here because it's as crazy of a two-hander as you'll ever see. That said, you made the good point earlier. It was on his shin pads. Like, it was on his legs. Like, what's he going to do? Like, He asks a good question. What's the worst that can happen?
Like, you... I'd
rather have someone slash me in the legs than punch me in the mouth.
Yes, if we're going famous hit-from-behind incidents, if we're going... Or sides... If we're going Matt Cook, Mark Savard, Mike Richards, David Booth, Claude Lemieux, Chris Draper...
Yeah, I'd rather be this guy than any of those guys.
Sure. Give me the lumber. Our next guest played 474 games, was a Stanley Cup champion in the National Hockey League. He is George Parros, who joins us on Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and nationwide on Sportsnet 360. George, thanks for taking the time. We appreciate it.
No problem, guys. How you doing?
Really good. Did you get a good look at this? I know you don't watch probably a lot of Swedish Elite League stuff online late at night. Who does? But did you get a good look at this this incident with Mr. DeVoe? What did you think of it?
I did. You guys sent me the clip so I could take a look. I haven't seen anything quite like it in a long time, and it's pretty gutless. I couldn't believe it. I didn't really. It was pretty grainy, the video quality. But you know, you say he didn't catch him in the shin guards, which is good, I guess, but obviously this is a tough precedent. They want to be like, oh, well, he caught him in the shin guards, so it's okay. It's like, you don't know if he tried to or what, so.
No, and DeVoe's argument is, well, he played in the game. That said, you know, you played college hockey. Andrew and I have seen plenty of both, and I want to ask, because we all, a lot of times Canadian people get this perception that the NCAA and the conferences, it's a lot more stick action, a lot more stick swing, but you've never been on a team where you've seen anything quite like that, have you?
No, it's absurd. I mean, there's no room for this anywhere. I obviously don't see that in college or anything like that, but you know, you can't allow for this down. I can't believe he played. You know, obviously I guess the video wasn't out there or anything like that, but my God, it's just there's no room for this. You take a number, if a guy gave him a dirty hit in the game before, you take a number and you lick him clean in the game. I mean, this is absurd.
You talk about eras and things, maybe not like, well, I won't say things like this, because back in the day, I mean, it was like slapshot. Guys would have stick fights, basically.
Yeah.
And then things change over, and now we've seen kind of really the elimination of a tough guy, and you will be kind of one of the last of your breed in a sense. For you, what would have been your perfect era? I mean, would you have relished playing in the mid-'80s, the early 90s? Do you like when you played? Are you before your time, after your time? How do you see it?
Interesting question. I liked when I think I played at the right time for me. There's certainly, I like the era of the Broad Street Bullies. You see guys like the Hammer Schultz, David Hammer Schultz, and he's like, some of these clips, you know, you've got a guy against the boards and his arms are all tied up, so he starts like throwing his shoulder into his chin and stuff like that, like against the glass. It's pretty hilarious. There's certainly some interesting times in the fighting eras, but I think that was appropriate for my time and place.
George Parros, our guest. So we've only got a couple of minutes. Your thoughts on your most recent team before you retired, the Montreal Canadiens. You know what the ride was like watching them play very well, play, not as challenging a first round with Tampa, but the series with Boston was a classic. What do they look like to you? They have almost all the exact same pieces. They really haven't added or subtracted much. There's no Thomas Vanek. What do you see of them going into the postseason?
I've said it while I was there and after this team, Carey Price is too good not to win a Stanley Cup, not without jinxing him or anything like that, but he's so good. He's going to give them a chance every time he's healthy. So, I hope that it happens for him. He's a great guy, and there's a lot of great guys in that locker room. I like the team. I like the makeup. As soon as I got there's a great feeling and buzz in the room. So Mark Bergevin has done a good job there, and I think this team definitely has what it takes, if it's this year or whatever. I think they have that ability and that threat.
George Parros, our guest on Brady and Walker. So the Habs are in the conversation for the President's Trophy still. As is your other old team. You won a Stanley Cup with them, the Anaheim Ducks. Now, Anaheim has only four games left, but they lead the points race right now. Is this as good of a Ducks team as you've seen? Do you think they would be the team to beat in the West? How do you view them right now?
Yeah, I think they look great. They've got they've certainly have an interesting lineup too. You know, they got a great mix of physicality, size, skill. They've always had that, it seems. It's obviously a different team than what we had there when I was there back in the Cup run, but they've got a lot of great pieces there too. Up front, Getzlaff and Perry, and those two guys are so dynamic. And if their goaltending comes through, they're certainly great contenders to come out of the West and can do it again.
Hey, George, thanks for coming on with us today. We'll definitely do it again and appreciate your thoughts.
No problem, guys. Good to hear from you.
There's George Parros joining us. Stanley Cup winner with the Anaheim Ducks, talking about a really ugly stick swing incident that we showed you the footage of from Sweden with Andre DeVoe.
And we're not getting into this whole, is there a place for this in the game? We're past that. I almost want to laugh at it.
Well,
like we said, Jeff Daniels and Jim Carrey and Dumb and Dumber. It's so out of left field, and he makes a point in the sense that no one is getting seriously hurt by a slash around the legs. It's just so crazy, out of the normal realm of what you'd consider acceptable on ice behavior, that it's almost a punchline.
Isn't the best part too that there's no DeVoe plays in the game, The guy he slashed plays in the game. There's no penalty. Like, you're not even starting down 2 minutes for slashing. When's the last time there was that famous one with a good friend of the show, Darcy Tucker, and Jason Blake and Sean Avery with the Rangers Leafs in the pregame?
Sure.
Avery had a lot of those. Avery almost went with David Clarkson in a warm-up in a Rangers Devils game. But when's the last time you've heard of anything in an NHL warm-up? There's only one line, and yeah, eventually there's always scores to settle. Guys know whether they've been conditioned. It used to happen. I'd go to OHL games at the London Gardens, and it would happen. Somebody would shoot a puck down on the opposing net. It happened a lot.
Top of my head, and this isn't a famous one, or maybe it is to some. Maybe it is for Sabres fans. But friend of the show, we'll have him on this week, I'm sure, Matthew Barnaby. So I remember, and this was the story from him. I read it. Sports Illustrated years ago did this article on the rough and tumble Sabres. Dominic Hasek was the goalie. Then they had Brad May and Rob Ray and Matthew Barnaby was kind of the three-headed monster there. And Barnaby was...
That's a good Sports Jeopardy team also, just in case.
Barnaby was talking about how, you know, playing that role of agitator, as we've called it now.
Yeah.
And he recalled this one warm-up who they're playing, and I guess it's towards the end of his career. Maybe he's in Boston or Carolina, I don't know. But Paul Coffey, legend, Hall of Famers on the other side. And he said, Paul Coffey's getting too close to our center ice line, red line at warm-up. And I told him not to do it. And Barnaby's this young, coming out of Victoriaville, just this young punk still. And he says eventually he kept doing it. So he said, so I tried to hurt Paul Coffey. He said, I two-handed him across the legs or torso so hard. He's like, I felt badly. I tried to hurt him badly. So that's top of my head. And then, and maybe it's equivalent to the Swedish Elite League. This is not, you know, what we've seen is the NHL. But remember back in the lockout, not this last one, but the second lockout ago, so 2005.
Yeah.
There was a lot of NHLers that wanted to play senior hockey. Now, some were recently retired and were able to do it, and then the NHLPA had to kind of step in. Like Wade Redden and Ryan Smith, I'm sure there was guys out here for like the Real McCoys or the Brantford Blast. They wanted to play senior hockey and go for the Allen Cup. Well, the Horse Lake Thunder was this team in Alberta, and they had Theo Fleury and Gino Ojic and Sasha Lakovic. It was straight out of slap.
So Ojic's already been out of the NHL for a while.
Yes.
Easily, yeah.
I mean, not that long when you think about it. Well, no. But yeah, a few
couple
years anyway.
Yeah.
But Theo was not long removed. And this was like,
so this is
this
pre,
was crazy Theo.
Is this pre or post Belfast Giants?
This is, it's a good question.
It's got to be post. Or it's got to be before he went to Ireland. Because he was in all sorts of crazy crap happened to him in Ireland.
I think 18 months previous to this, Theo was still playing for the Chicago Blackhawks.
Yeah.
And that level, for whatever reason, was the dirtiest. Like, a guy would skate through the neutral zone, and you could hear, like, the thwack of his shin guards, like, all the way up in the upper reaches of whatever rink they were playing in. Like, the dirtiest hockey.
It's funny how that works, though. So, yeah, we just find out as we're doing the segment, Andre DeVoe has had his contract terminated. It's funny how guys get reps, though. The guy that ran that poor Ben Finelli kid, Brian Burke invited him to try out with Toronto and probably wanted to stick him in the East Coast Hockey League. But it's just everybody seems – this will get Andre DeVoe almost
Liambus,
more invited.
Right?
Yeah, Michael Liambus from Erie.
He's still playing.
He's still kicking around.
He's playing in the American League, yeah.
It's amazing how that works. You get involved in an incident like this, even as an ex-NHLer, and more people will the name Andre DeVoe gets triggered, and he'll probably get more of an offer. Now, maybe not as high as the Swedish Elite League, but he could play in England, right? He could play in Denmark. Somebody may give him a crack. I don't think he's going to lose his passport.
Well, who was the guy
to play in the European Union over it?
It was last year. Trevor Gillies, former
Trevor
Island,
Gillies,
Trevor
yeah.
Islander, and he was playing for whatever Calgary's farm team was last year, and he slammed some guy's head into the ice early in the game, and he was kind of never heard from again.
So lots of basketball in the 3 o'clock hour. We're going to get to Leo Rowden is going to join us. I've got some thoughts on the Raptors right off the gate at 3 o'clock. By the way, just a quick note. Patrick Beverley, the Rockets' starting point guard, he wasn't going to go tonight, but he injured his wrist last Monday against Indiana. He's elected to have season-ending wrist surgery. That's a big blow for the Rockets. Right now it would be the 2 seed in the West to lose him. So the Raps are favored tonight anyway, and they're at home, and Houston played yesterday. We'll talk to Leo Routens about that. But Final Four is set, and I watched a good chunk of more than I thought I would be able to. Because Kentucky-Notre Dame was a classic Saturday. So the Final Four is Kentucky-Wisconsin in the late game next Saturday. MSU and Duke, who've met more than a few times in the Final Four. They met famously back in 99, the year before MSU won. But we were talking about the college game, and there's a lot of people that sample in on the college game. The NBA is a big deal. We know how big a deal it is. We're going to treat it like a big deal on this show. It deserves it. And that's not just because the Raptors are good. It helps. But 2 weeks from now, when we do a show and they have a playoff game that night against whoever, it's against Milwaukee, Washington, it's the story. It's the story, and,
sure it is.
And we'll give it what it deserves.
And I think we learned a lot. In the last calendar year, that series. Now I know they lost, and I know it came down to one shot, and they were probably supposed to beat Brooklyn. But I think that series, and there'll be NBA super fans in this city that say, "What are you talking about?" But I think that series reminded us all, opened our eyes, a lot.
Yeah,
as to what the appetite was to. I don't even know about basketball, but just to have a winner.
But it used to be almost a cooler thing to say, you know what I like better? I like the college game better than the pro game. And I know a lot of people in Ontario said that before the Raptors were here 20 years ago. But I wonder where the interest level is going to be in 10 years. And there's a bunch of things. The leaving after 1 year rule is really bad. There's no league where you can establish a star level. That great 30 for 30 with Christian Laettner was on in the last few weeks. Everybody's seen it by now.
Everybody hates Christian Laettner.
But you get ebbs and flows in a career, not just an 8 month span. I covered Zach Randolph at Michigan State. Everybody knew who knows if he was even going to class, but he was going to be a one and done player and then play 15 years in the NBA.
And has college football not done that a little better? Like, look at how big Tim Tebow was.
But you can develop and guys can grow. And is the freshman going to get time when they're all freshmen? And it's not a Fab Five era but Kentucky is getting guys, and now Duke's even though they had guys like Jason Williams and Shane Battier who stayed a lot longer. JJ Redick stayed the 3 years, I think. You've got that problem that players don't play at least two seasons, but they have to do something with the shot clock. It is a lot of passing for the sake of passing in that Duke Gonzaga game, which should have been great on paper. What do we say? 18 assists combined by both teams in the entire game. It's more sloppy. There's more top of the key circling and running, and there's not the urgency. There's no fast break unless there's a turnover. Like there is in the NBA.
You know how they say that in an average NFL game, or you say football game, so 60 minutes, you're getting about 9 minutes of action, technically speaking, or 11 minutes, whatever it is. It's a really low figure because there's a lot of just time between plays and everything like that. This shot clock, and like you said, the top of the arc, and you have three guys passing it around almost just to get that shot clock down to a manageable level, 2024, you're forfeiting 20% of your game.
Like, people way older than us, they put would know this. 45-second shot clock goes into the college game in 85-86. The NBA is already working with 24. Why they thought the disparity between... Can you imagine as well being a point guard? You play 4 years in college, you got 45 seconds. Step into the NBA, you got 24. That's a huge... Right. You'll make mistakes. That's a huge difference. They whittled it down to 35 seconds in 93-94. They got to get it down to at least 30. Even if you don't want to go to the NBA shot clock, it's 5 extra seconds of possession. And yes, the team's using it.
How difficult it is for the D.
How difficult it is for the D.
So I was watching some of the Gonzaga game, and there was some moments where, boy, they got every lane closed off. I'm saying, boy, this is a great defensive sequence for the Zags. And then you look at the shot clock, and there's still 18 seconds left.
Yeah. It's funny. The team that plays probably the most boring style, that plays the least athletic style, scored the most points in the regional final, and that was Wisconsin beating Arizona. But that was just the pace of the game. That's the pace Arizona wanted. And Wisconsin had to stay with them. So lots more basketball in the 3 o'clock hour. We will talk to Leo Routens. Rockets are at the ACC tonight against the Toronto Raptors. Coming up next, Buck Martinez. And we'll actually flip forward a year to look at the top free agents of 2016. There aren't any Blue Jays, but there might be a couple Blue Jay targets. This is Brady and Walker. You're listening on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. You're watching on Sportsnet 360.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Back to Brady and Walker. On TV at Sportsnet 360. Online at sportsnet590.ca. And on your radio at Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Buck Buck Martinez in a few minutes. Welcome to Brady and Walker. You can get a hold of us, by the way, on Twitter at Fan590Walker. That didn't change while you were away. Did you consider changing it at all in the last 28 days?
No, it works.
Does work still?
It works.
And Brady Fan590. As always, our tweets do not always reflect the opinions of the company.
Sportsnet agrees with everything we say.
Tyler Bozek is a very functional top six player that many teams would want.
Today's,
has an affordable contract. It's a bad day to say it.
Today's not the day to say it.
So, Buck, in a couple minutes, they're going to announce, now it may happen, if we get lucky on the show tomorrow, the Jays will announce their 25-man roster. I don't think there's any, remember the big drama 2 years ago was the Ricky Romero, Jay Happ fifth starter bit?
Yeah.
I don't think there's a dramatic moment. Devin Travis is coming. No, I don't think there was much debate whether he was or not, or was there?
No, he's coming north. The two 20-year-olds are coming north.
But is that in part because Asturias is going to start on the DL, and that's helpful? The issue is as well, could you trade Deonner Navarro during spring training? It doesn't seem like you can. And then it's the three catcher thing, which Alex Anthopoulos probably doesn't want it. But if John Gibbons wants R.A. Dickey to have Josh Tolley catch his starts, you're going to have it.
There's the drama. There's the drama right there.
Third catcher.
The third catcher. Because some would say, I mean, I've heard people on this radio station say, if Josh Tolley is on this team, run for the hills. It means bad things are going to happen.
It's a disgrace.
Let's be realistic about it. It's tough to get too bent out of shape over it.
Yeah, I think so. I'm more of the,
I don't know, if it's his guy. I would think that Russell Martin is going to be able to handle the knuckleball just fine.
But my issue is if you're not playing Edwin in the field almost ever, it doesn't sound like they want to, right? He's a straight up, he's getting into Harold Baines, Frank Thomas, DH, maybe the rest of his career territory.
Which was fine.
But then the idea was Deonner Navarro would get some DH games, maybe even 40 or 50. Maybe another 30 at catcher, and then I don't know what you do with them for the other. Have a spot, and you can't.
So much
let
is
them...
unknown, right? Like it's like the leg bone's connected to the hip bone, connected to the pelvic bone. Because if Justin Smoke turns into a guy that can do some at the plate for you, well, then that's great.
Problem solved.
And Edwin can DH.
Yeah. I don't think he can play left field.
No.
Deonner Navarro. And I don't want to see him in center.
Or Edwin.
It's not a company softball league. So we saw this top 10 list of the top 10 free agents that will be available next season. And what's really interesting is, let's just give you the top three to start and sort of weigh whether those players would re-sign with their teams. Number three is David Price. But I was surprised. I thought Price would be like what Scherzer is this year. And if anything, he's got more of a long-term track record.
And he still might
than
be.
Max Scherzer does. Number two is Jason Hayward, who the Cardinals obviously just acquired recently. And he's going to be looking for massive money. But so is Justin Upton. And Upton was traded to San Diego. I'm a little bit surprised that it's thought Justin Upton might fetch more than Jason Hayward. But I'm also more surprised that if David Price has a great year this year, he'll get more than both of them. Now, if he doesn't, he won't. But he's also a pitcher that's going to be 30 years old. I was a bit surprised.
There'll be more teams out there saying, well, if we only had a top-of-the-rotation guy, then there would be saying, well, if we only had this outfielder.
Other guys up, Johnny Cueto out of Cincinnati, Alex Gordon, Zach Greinke, another time for him to hit free agency. He's got the opt-out clause, so he could get out of his deal. Jeff Samardzija. Jonas Cespedes could be a really intriguing free agent because, again, could be great year, could be a guy that's just average. We're really excited for the Montreal games. They are this weekend at the Big O, the Cincinnati Reds and Joey Votto against the Toronto Blue Jays, and the Jays will sort of head southeast by a little bit to take on the New York Yankees in the Bronx a week from today, calling that game on television. One of our favorites, he is Buck Martinez. Buck, thanks very much for making time today. We appreciate it.
Good to be with you. How you doing today?
Well, we've adjusted from mornings to afternoons. It's probably, it's probably if somebody said to you, hey, every Jays home game this year is at 9 a.m., you'd have a bit of an adjustment for a six-month period, wouldn't you?
No question about it, and that's like going from spring training to the regular season. in the majority of the games are night games. So it'll take you guys a while to get settled in, and I'm sure it's a good spot for you.
We like it so far. So we were talking about drama with the Jays and the 25-man roster. I don't know if there's any either-ors. 2 years ago, we just referenced there was the big, hey, who's the fifth starter? Is it Ricky Romero? Is Jay Happ doing enough not to get sent to Buffalo? Is the decision Alex has to make the two catchers or three catchers thing for you that's the most intriguing tomorrow?
No, I think there are probably other decisions, like first base. You know, who's going to play first base? And I believe they're pretty much settled on Devin Travis the second. But I think first base is more intriguing because of what it does and the domino effect, how it impacts Edwin Encarnacion. If Justin Smoke can play first base, he's a terrific defender, a switch hitter. And, you know, he's starting to swing the bat a little bit better here at the end of spring training. So I think that's probably a little bit more of an issue than two or three. I think they're going to take two catchers now. It's just a matter of who those two catchers are.
Is there still a scenario, do you think, for Deonna Navarro to be on a different team? Everything, you know, we read on a daily basis says it's just not happening, but is it still their hope?
Yeah, I think there's still a possibility something will come. You know, everybody's trying to get down to their 25-man roster. So I think they're all trying to make adjustments and trim their rosters accordingly. So I think there's still a possibility that something might happen before Sunday when they have to set the rosters.
And is your indication with Edwin, again, he's had the flip from first base to DH. We know the hitting got a lot better after he was at third base. He was acquired as primarily a third baseman way back in 2009. I look and I wonder if he's getting into more of that. I referenced Harold Baines, Frank Thomas, what Cecil Fielder became later. Is he getting into full-time DH mode? Do you think he prefers it? Does the team prefer it as well?
Edwin has said that he prefers to play first base, but you know, it might be better off for him to play DH and try to keep him on the field as long as we can. You know, he's had a couple of nagging injuries the last few years, had the wrist injury a couple of years ago. He's got a back issue that's held him out this spring. So I think if you could keep him in that DH role, you might get a little more efficient, a little more effective Edwin Encarnacion.
Buck Martinez is our guest on Brady and Walker. It's a fascinating team, isn't it? Because you have maybe the best 3-4-5 in baseball. You have a rotation that features two proven, reliable veteran guys and then three youngsters, and then a total of probably six rookies coming north. Can you even think of a parallel that you've seen over the years around the game or here in Toronto where there was so much reliance on so much youth?
Oh, yeah. You know, it seems lately, especially when you look at teams like the Cardinals and, you know, those teams that have been perennial winners and how they commit to their players. And, you know, the Cardinals do a terrific job of incorporating young players. And I believe 2 years ago, I think they had 19 rookies they utilized in the course of the season. So this is not precedent setting by any means. It's just different for the Blue Jays. But for the first time in a number of years, their young players have enough talent that they have performed to the point where they have to be added to the roster. I think it's a real good thing. But, you know, even playoff teams, the Cardinals had 19 rookies on their playoff team in 2013. Oakland had 19 in 2012. You go back to the Dodgers in 95, they had 17. So, you know, talking about six or seven rookies is really not even close to the total of rookies that have performed well 3-4 for specific teams.
Buck Martinez, our guest. Tell us a little bit about looking forward to Montreal. You were an AL guy your entire existence as a player, and there was an interleague. You might have played in a couple Pearson Cups. I couldn't tell you for sure if you did. But nonetheless, what are you looking forward to? It was unbelievable last year. I'm sure the players, management as well with the Jays, didn't quite know what to expect given the sort of heart-wrenching way Montreal lost their team to D.C.
Yeah, and indeed, I did play in a couple of Pearson Cups, and I think Montreal puts on a good show. We saw it last year with the Mets, this year with Joey Votto and Russell Martin coming back to Canada to play. I think everybody's going to be excited, and of course, Russell grew up in Montreal. So it's going to be a good weekend, and I think it's a real good opportunity to get all of these rookies acclimated to a major league atmosphere, and it truly is that. I think we had 100,000 people last year for the two games, and we expect nearly the same this year. So I think it'll be a good atmosphere to get Osuna and get Castro out onto the field and playing that game before they hit Yankee Stadium on Monday afternoon.
One of my impressions from not just this weekend, but the last couple of weeks, and maybe it's just me, but the Josh Donaldson acquisition, Buck, seemed to happen so early that in some weird sense, he's almost maybe the forgotten guy or the forgotten difference maker among maybe the average fan. Have you yet fully appreciated what the Blue Jays have here in Josh Donaldson?
Well, I think I have a unique perspective because I've seen him every day here in the spring and see how he goes about his business. And the one thing that Josh does is he plays every day. And you know you're going to pencil him in. You don't have to worry about him. He's going to play every day. He's going to keep himself in the lineup no matter what. And the interesting thing, if you start to look at the AL East, how the Blue Jays have the best player at several positions according to the AL East teams. You know, you talk about Bautista in right. Reyes at shortstop now, the third baseman, Donaldson, Russell Martin behind the plate. So they have four or five players on their team that are the best players in the division at their respective positions. And we can't say that too often about this Blue Jays team going back a long way. So I think they're in pretty good shape. But to get back to Donaldson, I think people are going to really enjoy the way he goes about his business. And I anticipate he's going to have a big year hitting in Rogers Center for half the season.
Buck, we really enjoy your work, obviously. Thanks for doing this for us today, and safe travels to Montreal, Quebec later in the week.
All right. Congratulations on your new time slot, and I hope everything works out there.
Thanks very much. Buck Martinez joining us on Brady and Walker.
The one bad thing about...
That Buck said?
No, about us? About our
off
move.
Air? Yeah. Oh, okay, sorry.
Is no afternoon ball games anymore.
See, there is that, but should we give like Grapefruit League scores and Cactus? Like the Mets are beating the Marlins 7-0 in the sixth. Do people want to know that?
I don't know. I don't mean those afternoon games.
I mean
the odd day where
can't sneak out.
Yeah, can't sneak out.
Yeah, one of us could. They don't need both of us for these web shows that they'll be doing when there's a home game and there's a home Jays game.
I'm told they do.
So we should book all our best guests for next Monday for our web only show. Like, I think we're going to, Wayne, next Monday on the show, Wayne Gretzky, John Elway, we'll get Peyton Manning in studio, Tom Brady as well. This is the first time they've ever been in studio together. By the way, Encarnacion, I had to look it up because I was thinking about it, played 128 games last year. Like, if I asked you, would that number have seemed high? It felt like he was gone forever in that bad stretch.
He was gone in the most
important
stress. Yeah.
But he was so important in May when they were, like, if I said to you.
16 home runs one month.
So he's 31 years old. If I said to you, would you take 128 from Edwin, no question asked, this year? Would you take 155 from Bautista? Of course. They got awfully fortunate. Even though Bautista was hurt when everybody else was hurt.
It was the first year in three that he pretty much played a whole season. It was not the. Because people say, oh, you just want to blame it on injuries. It was two things that stuck out to me last year with this Blue Jays team. If they have the bullpen that they did 2 years ago, where the bullpen seemed to be the only good thing, they make the playoffs. And it wasn't the amount of their injuries. It was the key ones at the wrong time. And I'm talking about
Edwin
and Brett Laurie.
Yeah.
When Brett Laurie went down, like It's going to be really nice, again, knock on wood, to see a third baseman that you know is a good player, and you know what you're going to get from him, and you know he's probably going to be there every day.
I'm not going to fake like I know it. It's not my style, but I feel like they were having West Coast games late at night, and you and I would have to stay up and watch them, and they were missing Edwin, Bautista, Adam Lind, and
Brett Laurie.
And so the lineups were just a dog's breakfast.
And Colby Rasmus, even though he was in. Yes.
Mentally, he was there. So 3 o'clock, we'll talk more about the Raptors. They do play a very good basketball team that's on a back-to-back. The Houston Rockets beat Washington 99-91. So the Rockets may have played the team that the Raptors are inevitably going to clash with in the first round of the playoffs starting in a couple weeks. We'll talk to Leo Rowdens about that. And John Carlson, Washington Capitals defenseman and Canadian anti-hero, will join us. Why?
Yeah,
why today?
The biggest overtime goal for American hockey. What, in the last 10 years?
Something like that. Yes. By the way, we didn't. And if we have time, more talk. We'll probably just talk off the air about the USA beating Canada in the women's hockey. But they win the ones that matter. Really,
I don't recall that. I didn't see that.
No, it's not on the. It's not on our show prep lineup. You're watching Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 360. Listening on Sportsnet 590. The Fan.